Welcome to the Wasatch Gazette, a public affairs program produced by Cumulus Media Salt Lake City. If you would like to submit an interview request for the Wasatch Gazette, please email mike.parsons@cumulus.com. That's mike.parsons@cumulus.com. Now, here's the host of the Wasatch Gazette, Mike Parsons.
My guest this morning is Griff Nielsen. He is a multiple certified personal trainer, level 3 Czech holistic lifestyle coach and nutritionist. He holds a bachelor's degree in exercise science from the University of Utah, and you're an author as well. Good morning.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning to you.
Thank you for being here. Tell me what that means, level 3 Czech holistic lifestyle coach and nutritionist.
Well, it's a little bit unconventional in the fact that what we do as holistic coaches is we take people in and we look at the whole picture. It's the concept of looking at every area of life, everything from emotional health to physical health, to spiritual health, you name it. That's what we do. So we're the guys and the gals that take people in that have taken the conventional route to no avail, and we try to help them from there.
And you're here mostly this morning to talk about sugar.
Yes.
So sugar has become such a huge part of our society. And I kind of have this sense, and this might not be accurate, but I have sort of this sense that in the last few decades, we were told that fat was the enemy and that sugar was fine and that the reverse might be true. Is that accurate at all?
It's very accurate. Yeah.
So tell us, how did we get to this point as a society where we're eating so much sugar?
Well, decades back, starting about 40, 50 years ago, there was a political war. There's a war between associations, the Utah Corn Refiners Association, the Sugar Association. They were all lobbying and making the case that fat was the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And through extensive lobbying, through extensive funding, they were able to pull that off. They were able to effectively demonize it, and it was effectively sold to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look around today, we still, although we're more aware, we still believe that. We still believe that fat is the bad guy, the demon, and so now we're starting to learn a little bit more. We're starting to learn that, yes, fat can be bad if it's the wrong kind, but we're also being illuminated to the fact that sugar is indeed very dangerous in the quantities that we're consuming it today.
And it's crazy, the quantities of sugar we're eating as a society.
It's very crazy, Mike. There's some experts that have claimed that the average American consumes up to 120 pounds of sugar, refined sugar. That's not including fruit.
Right.
Per year.
120 pounds of refined sugar.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've noticed is that sugar is everywhere. It's places that you'd never expect it to be.
And that's part of the game. Sugar is so highly addictive that if a food manufacturer can place it in a breakfast bread, in a ketchup, in something where it's not really traditionally supposed to be.
Spaghetti sauce, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If they can cram it in there, then that's the trick. That's where we subtly get hooked. And that's why processed sugar, refined sugar, is in 74% of all the processed foods that are on the market today.
So what is it about sugar that gets us addicted to it? How does that science work?
Well, this is an interesting can of worms. This is where we have to really look at our brain. The human brain is developed and has been developed over our evolutionary period to gain energy. And the reason that we want to gain energy, the reason that we seek food, is so that we can perpetuate the species, right? You and I wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't have enough energy to do that. And so the brain is set up physiologically to seek calories, to seek sweet things, to seek things that are very palatable. And when we taste these sweet foods, these ultra-refined foods that have sugar just crammed into them, it's very easy for our brain to say, that's a good deal.
I want more of that, baby.
Yeah. And so we're really looking at this as a really good deal physiologically. But the problem is that served us in yesteryear. When we were hunter-gatherers, when we never knew when our next meal was going to come, that was a really good thing.
Yeah.
But now we've got fast food restaurants, we've got supermarkets, we've got convenience stores. Everything is right there. And there is no what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right there. It's cheap. It's abundant. And that's the problem.
So how do we break this addiction?
Well, that's a loaded question in the fact that it varies from person to person. I will say that there are a few main steps. I usually give a four-step process or a four-step program that people can use. So I'll give you the abbreviated version today. The very first step is that of awareness. Sugar's not commonly thunk of as an addiction. You know,
right.
Nobody thinks, oh yeah, I'm addicted to sugar. You know, we're very aware of alcohol and drugs and all the other more traditional, if you will, addictions, but nobody is really aware of that sugar can be truly addictive. Mm-hmm. So the first step, Mike, is to be aware. And within that awareness, you have to understand what your cues are. Now, there can be emotional cues. There can be physical cues. Let's say your boss yells at you. That can be an emotional cue. Let's say you have relationship tension or stress. That can be a cue. Financial, that can be a cue. Maybe it's just a physical cue where you drive by McDonald's and wham, bam, I want something.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware of your cue. And the second part is you have to start to really work on your mindset. I call it competing thoughts, because we all have thoughts such as, I'm busy. I don't have time to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. I've got bad genetics. And these are thought processes that go through our brain day after day, week after week, year after year, and they become part of, quote, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But if these thoughts start to define who we are, they also lead to a behavior. So we have to start to replace our thinking. We have to think, well, okay, sugar is addictive. I can make time to prepare more healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
I can enjoy a piece of fruit, hence why summertime's a really good time to kick sugar addiction. I can choose a piece of fruit over the Reese's peanut butter cup. I can start to think in different ways, and I actually have to start to identify what my negative thinking patterns are. What are the thought processes that are going on that are leading me into behaviors that I'm not fond of? Once I can isolate that, and that's step number one, awareness, then I can start to repeat and reaffirm and lay the groundwork for a new network of thinking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The third step, after we have that, is competing behaviors. So once we start to see what the cue is through awareness, and once we start to say, okay, I'm going to reroute my thoughts, now I'm going to start to work on my behavior. Let's say, for example, let's make this very simple. I've been having 2 bowls of ice cream every night for 35 years.
That's a habit. Yeah.
Amen, right? It's a habit. And I am going to start with one thing. I'm going to start to replace that behavior. So I'm going to do away with one bowl of that ice cream. And I'm going to replace it
mm-hmm.
with a banana.
Okay.
I still have the one.
Yeah.
But I'm focusing on one thing at a time.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of people get overwhelmed. They look at it like, well, there goes my whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
Well, I got to get.
So baby steps.
Yeah, it's baby steps. It's one step at a time. It's one thing that we can do sequentially. And then once you master that one thing, once you master the one bowl and you feel like, yeah, I'm getting a hold of this, I'm getting a handle on it, then you can advance to that second bowl and then make sure that you take one step at a time and you sequentially master new habits.
Unlike giving up alcohol or tobacco or illegal drugs, it's not an all or nothing thing with sugar. I mean, we still have to have some sugar in our diet.
This is where a lot of biologists and physiologists have looked into this, Mike, and it's really interesting. When we say the word sugar, it's very tempting to think that all sugar is bad. It's a blanket statement. But really, the demarcation comes when we look at where is the sugar coming from. Is it coming from a natural source? Is it coming from an unnatural source? And the very easy way to discern that, the next time you go to a store and you pick up a package or a bowl of ice cream, look at the ingredients. You see ingredients listed there. The first thing is sugar. And then you see about 25 other ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Those all go into the flavoring. Those all are scientifically engineered to get us more addicted. Alternatively, let's say that you go to the store and you pick up an orange and you're looking for that ingredients label and you look on the peel and the rind, there's nothing there.
It's just an orange.
It's just an orange.
Yeah.
And Mother Nature, what it does is it gives you just enough sugar, not too much. It's not crammed in. Like if you take a can of Coke or Dr. Pepper, we're talking 6 to 10 apples.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's binging on 6 to 10 apples because Mother Nature designed it that way.
Right.
But it's a volume issue. And so sugar itself is not bad.
Yeah.
And it comes, Mother Nature packages it up with all the nutrition that we need. But when we take it and we put it into, quote, man-made form, mm-hmm. that's where the problem comes.
The quantities.
That's where the quantity starts to get us.
And sometimes when you're looking at those labels, they use different words. For example, I know that corn syrup is pretty much just sugar. But if you don't know that, you're reading the label and like, oh, look, there's no refined sugar in here, just corn syrup.
Right.
I mean, that's sugar too.
There is over 70 different names, Mike,
that
the food manufacturers have come up with, and it's very subtle. And obviously, the ploy there is to get us to kind of look the other way and go, yeah, just like I said, it's just corn syrup.
So right.
I'm getting my veggies. Right? There's a lot of subtle nuances there. But my suggestion there is to do a simple Google search and find out the different names of sugar. So if you're trying to cut out refined sugar from your diet, literally get onto Google, put in different names of refined sugar, and you'll get a list that is easily over 50.
Wow. The other thing my wife tries to do, and I think this is smart, is if there are ingredients I can't pronounce, then it's probably not good for me.
Amen, brother.
If it says whole wheat, I can pronounce that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
So we as a nation are getting extremely overweight as a result of this sugar addiction. Yeah. You've talked a little bit about how to break the cycle one thing at a time. What else is important to know about sugar and how it affects our lives and our bodies?
I think the most important thing is to not become obsessive about it, but to become very aware. I would also answer it this way, Mike. Sugar addiction goes far beyond just the uncomfortable belt line, you know, the waist filling in. And that's typically what we think of when we think of sugar. It's like, well, you know, I gained a little bit of weight during the holidays. But as a holistic life coach that has coached numerous people, over 500 people, I can tell you this, it affects relationships, it affects emotions, it affects people's ability to work, it affects finances. This is not an addiction that is talked about a lot, but yet it is very subtle, and ironically, it's killing more than all the other addictions combined.
Yeah.
The number one killer in America right now is heart disease, and there's many experts, including myself, that would argue that sugar is the nucleus, the genesis of that, along with other processed fats and foods that are over-consumed in our nation. But if we are aware of that, not obsessive, but aware of it, my contention is if we can live an 80-20 lifestyle, if 80% of our nutrition can come from good whole foods, the ones that we can pronounce, the ones that come from the earth, those ones, if we can do that, we're going to be in pretty good shape. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. We don't have to be obsessive. We can enjoy life and just have the occasional treat, but still be healthy.
How often do you, as an expert in this area, have a piece of just candy that's just pure refined sugar?
You nailed me, Mike. I'm gonna be honest. I was a sugar addict for half of my life, and this is why I was so intrigued by this. Up into my mid-20s, I was an absolute physiological addict. To answer your question, what I do is I limit myself. I consume still 2 to 3 pieces of fruit per day, and that usually placates most of my desires. On the weekend, I will take my family out, and we'll have a meal that we usually don't, and then I'll have a dessert that I and in a pretty big portion. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. You know?
So yeah, I still enjoy.
So it's a matter of being aware of it, and it's okay to maybe use some of that as a sort of a reward.
Oh, sure.
For behaving during the week. And we think of it as behaving and being on a diet rather than just changing the way we live all the time.
Yes, yes. And that, honestly, Mike, is the death knell for most of us. When we put expiration dates on the way that we live, what we're going to find is that we're going to place ourselves on a roller coaster. We're going to go up and down. We're going to gain weight. We're going to lose weight. We're going to get happy. We're going to get sad and everything in between. That's why we need to come as a society, we need to collectively understand that it needs to be lifestyle based. And that's where it goes back to the 80-20. If we can commit to that, if we can give ourselves, for some people, maybe it's a treat per day.
Yeah.
For somebody like me, that's more of a black and white personality, maybe it's you go and you have your quote unquote cheat meal.
Yeah.
My fitness friends will know what I'm talking about there. And so really, it really comes down to knowing yourself. The old adage, know thyself, holds true.
Okay. In addition to the sugar stuff that you're very well-versed in, you also have a book called Exercising Your Excuses, Heal Your Mind, Honor Your Body, and I'm sure that this is a big part of that book. Talk a little bit about your book.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. Yeah, basically what Exercising Your Excuses is about, it's about coming into a realization that you are much greater than what you think you are. One thing that I've seen in coaching for over 15 years is that we as human beings, we severely limit ourselves. We discount ourselves, and we do that in a very subtle form known as excuse making. And so what this book does is it basically gives the reader a 60-day plan, step by step. Day one, drink water. Day two, create a vision for your future. Day three, and what it does throughout 60 days is it takes the reader by the hand, it supports them, and it subtly helps them rewire their brain and also rewire their habits through doing, through behavior. Mm-hmm. So it takes the psychological and blends it with the physical. Sugar addiction, matter of fact, is all about, there's two components of sugar addiction. There's a physiological addiction where the brain can actually get addicted to sugar just like any other drug. Mm-hmm. But there's also a mental addiction to it. There's an emotional addiction. And so what the book does is it helps people extricate themselves from the excuses that are limiting them from proceeding in life. If they have a dream, usually without them knowing, it's those pesky little excuses that mm-hmm. they get in the way. And we all have them. You know, I'm a PhD in excuse making, and that's why I wrote the book.
and I don't know if I pronounced it well enough, but it's exorcising, not exercising.
Yeah, exorcism.
Getting rid of those excuses, yep, exorcising them.
Yes.
Well, it's fascinating. I feel like we've just kind of touched the surface of it, but sugar addiction is definitely a big issue in our country, in our society. And I think you've given us some really practical ways to approach it, because it's scary when you think, oh, I've just got to cut out everything I'm eating wrong, and
right.
tomorrow I got to start eating right.
Yes.
Taking it one step at a time, that makes it seem manageable.
Absolutely.
Griff Nielsen, my guest this morning. He is a multiple certified personal trainer, level 3 Czech holistic lifestyle coach and nutritionist, bachelor's degree in exercise science from the University of Utah. You definitely know what you're talking about here. And his new book, if you want to check that out, is called Exercising Your Excuses, Heal Your Mind, Honor Your Body. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome, Mike. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Wasatch Gazette, a weekly public affairs program produced by Cumulus Media Salt Lake City. If you would like to submit an interview request for the Wasatch Gazette, please email mike.parsons@cumulus.com. That's mike.parsons@cumulus.com.